and Neil Gaiman, our most exciting author. Yay!
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
So this wonderful new book, Norse Mythology, which we've been lucky enough to read, is just amazing. It's not the typical kind of Norse myth that we're seeing come through the movies and that now. This is like very, very different.
More traditional.
Well, it's absolutely true. I mean, the challenge for me was trying to retell stories that are either from the prose Edda or from the poetic Edda. I really don't wander very far from either of those things, which are these Icelandic documents that are well over 1,000 years old. And I just wanted to go, okay, let's tell the myths, but let's tell them fresh, and let's tell them clean. And if you read one of these books, you have the myth. I'm not going to throw something into the story that wasn't in there. By the same token, I'm going to tell the story as freshly and as cleanly as I can. I'm going to pick my words. I'm going to make it fun. And it was like this strange and beautiful game, because I wanted it to be faithful. I wanted them to be accurate. I didn't want anybody who had actually studied Norse mythology to read it and go, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I wanted them to go, oh, well, okay, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that, but I can see where he would get it from. And I wanted people to fall in love with them in the way that I'd fallen in love with them.
And when did you fall in love with them? Has it been an ongoing?
I first met Thor and Odin and Loki in English reprints of Marvel comics when I was 6-7 years old. And my friend Stephen Byrne had a copy of Myths of the Norsemen by Roger Lancelin Green. So I would go over to his house and read his copy of Myths of the Norsemen, and then get my own copy of Myths of the Norsemen and read it until the pages fell out. When I was in my 20s, I guess, I found Kevin Crossley Holland's beautiful retellings. And A, I fell in love with them, and B, they also sent me off to Snorri Sturluson, to the prose Edda, to the poetic Edda. And it was actually kind of scary for me because I didn't dare, when I decided I was going to retell the myths, I didn't dare go back to either Kevin Crossley Holland or to Roger Lancelin Green. It was like, okay, they both exist and they're wonderful. This has to be me. And this has to be me in the same way that somebody telling a joke or somebody playing a version of a traditional folk song, it's got to be yours. You don't want to do Bob Dylan's version, you want to do your version.
Yeah, I mean, I loved how fallible the gods were in this. I mean, most stories tell of these gods as being these sort of wise beings who don't really make mistakes, whereas they're quite petty in some respects and quite selfish.
Oh, they're gloriously petty. I was looking at, because in that way, because the book hasn't come out yet and I'm fascinated to see what people are making of it, and I looked at possibly made the mistake of looking at the Goodreads page for it a couple of days ago, and I'm reading down and there's a lady who very much liked it but got upset with me in the story of Baldur, because she says there's a moment where Thor is out of character. And what I loved about the moment she's talking about is the moment is straight out of Snorri. Yeah. It's a moment where Thor is just incredibly grumpy, and a dwarf called Lit walks between Thor and the funeral pyre, and Thor just kicks him onto the funeral pyre. And I thought that's, for me, that's pure Thor. Thor, the Norse god, is he is going to protect you from trolls and giants, but he's definitely not the nicest, and he's certainly not the brightest of the gods. You know, Loki and Odin are both incredibly smart, but Loki is always going to use his incredible smartness for himself, and quite often just to stir things up and to see what happens. And one thing I loved about doing this was feeling like I wasn't sure what the book was going to be until it was done. I was writing the stories, and then when it was finished, I put them all into order, finally, because I'd just been writing them, and read them all through, and went from the creation to Ragnarok, and went, this actually feels like something. It actually, it really feels like it has become this story, and you get to follow these gods from creation until the end.
Stories, we all fought over the proofs as they came into the office. And
weren't they beautiful proofs?
They're just beautiful proofs. The book itself is actually just beautiful and a great collection of different stories, stories that I didn't know about the Norse gods. And it's nice to have sort of an alternative to the Marvel big, strong Thor characters. And
I like the idea that people will have this as a way in.
Yeah.
Yes, they've encountered the characters on the screen or in pop culture.
Or in Odd and the Frost Giants.
Or in Odd and the Frost Giants.
Again, it's one of my favorites.
Or in American Gods.
Yeah.
Whatever, but they, you know, the Norse gods are with us.
Yeah.
They're there even in the days of the week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are all named after Norse gods. And when you finish this book, you will know something about Tyr, about Odin, about Thor, about Frigga. You'll know enough about them to at least know who they are in those days of the week.
Great. Now we probably only have time for one more question. So I'm going to ask, are you going to go back and reread your childhood favorite retellings now that you've finished?
You know, I really should. Robin Hitchcock, who is a wonderful musician, when he heard I was doing this and was talking about Roger Lancelin Green's Myths of the Norsemen, the last time I saw him, he gave me a copy of Roger Lancelin Green's retelling of the Tale of Troy, which I'd never read. As a kid, I had the Roger Lancelin Green Norse myths, and I had his Tales of Ancient Egypt, both of which I loved. But I'd never read his retelling of Troy. So I'm actually going, you know, this will be fun. I will read this.
Emily,
thank you, Tracy.
We're all incredibly excited about Norse mythology, which is available on Booktopia now.
And you have to buy it. Tell them to buy it. Buy it. Buy two copies.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. And don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.